As I was saying, if I tell you I'm going to give you a ride somewhere, the assumption is that I have a vehicle or a car. I show up on my bicycle, you know, the Pee Wee Herman kind with the little thing. You're in trouble. But, you know, the assumption is, tell you that there is this little lake up in the mountains, and it is gorgeous. You get a wonderful view of the stars. There's a place to put your the tent. Some of you are going, yeah, I'm not there. But let's just imagine you want to be there, and I'm telling you about this place, and I say, come with me to that place. Your assumption is going to be what? We're hiking, yeah. Okay, besides the hiking part, sleeping on the ground part, shoulders in pain the next morning, and the whole bring a shovel, besides all that, if I tell you, come with me to this beautiful mountain lake, what's your assumption? I know how to get there. And probably, probably because I've been there, right? You grasp your chest and hit the ground. And one of our resident EMTs, paramedics, says, oh, this person's having a heart attack. And I push him aside and, get back! I'm going to perform open heart surgery. Now, if you don't know me, and you see me do that, what's your assumption? I've done it before. I'm a doctor, right? Jesus said, whoever believes in me, though he dies, he shall live. That's quite a promise. Today we celebrate the proof in the pudding. Today we remember that he was raised from the dead so he can keep that promise. No Pee Wee Herman bicycle. No getting you lost in the woods. No killing you because I'm not a doctor. He says, whoever believes in me, though he dies, he shall live. That's quite a promise, Jesus. Moments later, Lazarus, come out of the grave. He raised a man. Huh. Maybe this guy can keep that promise. But Lazarus would one day die again. What did they think when he was on the cross? They didn't know what to think. Those who followed him and believed in him were distraught and confused. They thought, it's over! The Messiah, the anointed one, the one God had promised from long ago, and the word we're familiar with is Christ, the Christ, whom we believe this Jesus, this carpenter's son to be, is there hanging on a cross with common criminals. It's over! Whoever believes in me, though he dies, he shall live? The guy's on a cross! But 3 days later, they rolled away the rock. And he wasn't there. He showed up, gave everyone quite a fright. He had been raised from the dead. You know what that means? He can keep a promise. Like whoever believes in me, though he dies, he shall live. If you never see me driving a car or anything but a Pee Wee Herman bicycle, and I tell you I will give you a ride, and you expect anything other than sitting on the handlebars, that's strange. If I'm known for getting lost in the woods and can't find my way to places I've even been, but I've never been to this lake in the Sierras, and you want to follow me there, you've got issues. Those of you who know me, if you let me attempt open-heart surgery on someone, we'll both get arrested. But he promised, though you die, you shall live. And isn't that what we want? I mean, what a bunch of weirdos we are here this morning. We're remembering and celebrating a man come back from the dead. And we say, that's just utterly ridiculous. I've never seen such a thing. And then someone dear to us dies and we say, oh, they're in a better place. How do we know that? I know why we say that. Because there is this inescapable understanding that this physical isn't all that there is. And then we say, they're in a better place. But then we say, believing in a man raised from the dead when you've never seen it? Have you seen the rover on Mars? Well, no, but I've seen pictures of it. I've seen pictures of all kinds of things. Have you seen the rover on Mars? Have you seen George Washington? Let me touch a hot button, dare I? Have you seen slavery on plantations? So we believe all the time things we've never seen for ourselves. And we want so badly there to be something not just good, but better than this after death. But upon what grounds can we place such a belief? Someone has been there and back again. Never to die again, ascending to the Father's right hand in heaven, and having in his life and death provided for anyone who believes in him to experience the same. That's what Resurrection Sunday is. Resurrection Sunday is the stamp, the guarantee. He can keep that promise. You can join me there if you'd like, or just listen. I'm going to look at a verse here in John chapter 11. Everything is coming from the Gospel of John this morning. John chapter 11, I mentioned it briefly already, set the situation up for you. Lazarus has died, the brother of Mary and Martha. Jesus is told, he waits till Lazarus is fully dead and in the tomb 4 days before he shows up. Verse 17 of John 11. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So then Martha heard that Jesus was coming. She went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. What a promise. First, a statement. I am the resurrection and the life. Then the promise, whoever believes in me, Though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's the question for us this morning. Do we believe that? Why would we believe it? Because he guaranteed it by going first. He makes that promise there, and then as we've already had read to us this morning in chapter 20, I'm going to one verse specifically, 29. They're all seeing him except for Thomas, but in 29, Jesus said to him, John 20:29, to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" Now Thomas gets to see him firsthand. Why? Because he was actually, literally, truly raised from the dead. Which guarantees that he can make good on the promise that whoever believes in him, though he dies, he shall live. The wonderful applies to us here today. Truth is that though him visibly being seen, raised from the dead, confirmed before mankind that he was the Christ, the Son of God, it doesn't require seeing him firsthand to have the life he promised. Verse 29, Jesus goes on, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed. God's favor, kindness, goodness is upon those who never see Jesus face to face before or after his resurrection, but believe in him. That word blessed there has to do with the idea of goodness, God's favor, as opposed to not God's meanness or unkindness, but God's justice. Almost everyone knows, especially if you've watched like a baseball game, John 3:16. People will write it on a poster board and hang it up. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish." Should not perish, but have eternal life. And it goes on to speak about, the next couple verses, judgment and being judged already. The opposite of God's blessing, his kindness and favor, his mercy and grace, is not his meanness and unkindness, but it's justice. Getting what we deserve. Jesus accomplished that for all who would believe in him. How do we know he actually accomplished it? How do we know that he met God's justice? Because God raised him from the dead and presented him to many. He presented himself and was among them. And there it was. Excuse me, the proof. The proof in the pudding. The declaration from God that Jesus really is his Son, fully God, fully man, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. And therefore, the promise he made that whoever believes in him, though he dies, he shall live, has been made good on. It has been made good on. We don't need to see him to know that blessing. But he did have to be raised. And he was. Again, that's where we get laughed at. You believe in a man raised from the dead? You believe in a better place after death? Why? For created in the image of God, who is eternal. Man and woman, he made them. In his own image, he made them. We're more than the plants. We're more than the animals. The idea that there's a God or a divine reality, spiritual behind the physical, is not some kind of leftover thing from evolution, coping mechanism, a way of dealing with things that you don't understand yet because you're so primitive and don't have science. It's an ingrained burned upon us, stamped upon us understanding we have. And that's why we say they're in a better place. What makes you think that? I know why you want there to be a better place, but what makes you think they're there? I believe in a man raised from the dead. What makes you believe that? It was testified to you by many witnesses. Yeah, but you haven't seen it. Is there video footage? No. You knew who George Washington was? Yeah. How do you know? Here's the keys to my car. You want to borrow it? Did you know the brakes work? Did you check them out? Make sure the brake fluid's full? No holes in the lines? Right? We do it all the time. If you're here this morning and your faith is in Jesus as the Son of God, the Son of a carpenter, through Mary, virgin birth, perfect life, died on the cross, is buried and raised again, you're not nuts. We're not crazy. We're blessed. We know the goodness, the kindness, the undeserved favor of God. We can be sure of it because Jesus was raised from the dead. Now you'll recall back in that passage in chapter 11, he says, whoever believes in me shall never die. Well, wait a second. People die. What's going on there? Well, there's a double meaning to death and life and even eternal life, as we came across in John 17 when I read earlier, my favorite passage in Scripture. Yes, if I had to choose one, it wouldn't be that difficult. It would be 17:3. Because there's Jesus before he dies, in what's labeled the high priestly prayer, wherein he prays even for those of us here today who believe in him. But he defines eternal life. You're like, well, that's easy. Life that never ends. Well, that's true. But if you include life that never ends, meaning this body never comes to an end, you've got it wrong. The essence of eternal life is this, that one knows the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And know is not simply the idea of know the facts about, but know him as in have received him, as having believed him, as in trusting in him. The fact of the matter is, we will die if we die before he comes back. This physical body will come to an end, but it will also be physically raised, transformed as a resurrection body. Again, what makes you think that? Because Jesus had one. And I could go to a multitude of passages this morning, but I wanted to keep it really, really simple. Not because I don't think you're capable of complex thought. Because it is simple. It is simple. Jesus made a promise. And he can make good on that promise. Because he went first. He was raised from the dead. What do you believe? That's the giant question this gospel John raises, as was read for us earlier in chapter 20, after the resurrection narrative, after Thomas seeing and believing, and Jesus saying, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Verse 30 of chapter 20. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, this promised one, fulfilling all the Old Testament scriptures, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. Who do you say Jesus is? What do you believe? You have great reason to believe that he is indeed the Christ, the Son of God, who offers eternal life. Why? Because he was raised from the dead. If you're here already believing that, this is a reminder of why you can be sure that though you die, you shall live. Because Jesus was raised from the dead. And that also means that regardless of what's going on in the world, right? All the fear of death out there right now. If your faith is in Christ, you live. We live. That verse there says, the Son of God, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him you may have life in His name. And even if it had been the phrase eternal life, we know from John 17:3, it's not talking about something in the future. Though it is talking about something in the future. It's talking about something in the future that starts in the here and now. It's talking about something that will never end. It's life. Real life. True life. The only ones living the life are Christians. Because the one who promised us life was raised from the dead. So if you're here already believing this, and this is a rehashing of what you already know, praise the Lord. Remember the great reason you have for what you believe. And also that the implications of that are not just, yeah, I don't get to go to hell when I die, but I now live. Back to Jesus' high priestly prayer. Jesus says, I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that you may have my joy, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. We can have joy here and now. Why? COVID, lockdown, economy, border issues, educational issues, corruption. What are we talking about? Are we talking about 30 AD or now? I don't know. It's just... We can have His joy now because He's alive. Jesus has risen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we walk around believing all kinds of things, trusting all kinds of things. Grant that each one of us here would trust you at your word. That though we do not see Jesus now, we would believe in Him and have life in His name. That we would know you, the only true God, as our God and as our Father. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent as your Lamb and our Lord and our Savior. Have mercy upon us, never to lose sight of you and Jesus Christ seated at your right hand. That by the same Spirit through whom you raised Jesus from the dead, you would continue to work mightily in us. That all the more, no matter how dark the days seem, we would know your joy and your peace and proclaim Jesus raised from the dead. Father, may you grant that we would live right now, and that through us, others who have not seen would also come to believe and be blessed and have life right now. For that is why we are here. And there is no greater good or greater life to live. For to live is Christ. Thank you, Father, for this morning, the freedom to gather. Thank you for your word that we've heard much from today. Write it upon our hearts. Change our thinking. Just as Jesus prayed. We're not to be taken out of the world. We are to live in it. But keep us as yours. Keep us in Christ. Make us the light, the blessing, the joy of Christ manifest to those around us. In Jesus' name.